Clare back with you on this Sunday morning on 720 WGN. When I get Nostalgia Digest magazine in the mail, I get excited because there's always great articles and interesting stories of yesteryear that you won't find anywhere else. My pal Steve Darnall is the editor-in-chief of Nostalgia Digest magazine. He also hosts Those Were the Days. We'll call it on another network, as Johnny Carson used to say. And Steve joins us this morning. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, David.
What's happening, pal?
You?
I am doing fantastic. I would expect no one else on the winter edition on the front cover as we celebrate Jack Benny's birthday this month, which is the 125th anniversary of his birth. How about that?
I know. He's just the gift that keeps giving as far as comedy's concerned.
Right? Yeah. He's one of those guys that he just never dates himself. You can watch a show. You can listen to the old-time radio shows. He's timeless, isn't he?
He really is. I mean, like a lot of comedians, he and his writers might throw in topical references, but the core of Jack Benny and his character you're absolutely right. It's utterly timeless. It's not dated at all. There's nothing in it that couldn't be done today, I don't think, you know?
Right, absolutely. We'll talk about Jack in a little bit, and I've got some clips, as I always do, some of my favorite stuff, including an interview Chuck Shaden did so many years ago that I know you sell in your store as well. But there's so much more to this magazine. Tell us a little bit about some of the highlights, Steve.
Oh, well, Nostalgia Digest, it's about the golden age of entertainment, and that's a pretty broad umbrella. It's actually about, and so with the current issue, we've got the cover story about Jack Benny and Fred Allen, as you point out. We've also got an article about the making of Casablanca, going back some 76 years, I guess. We've got interview with Stuart Kanin, the boy violinist who, as a young lad, played on Fred Allen's show and inspired Fred Allen to make jokes about Jack Benny's violin playing, and that started that whole feud.
I know it was a feud, and I know people that don't realize that. That lasted for a very long time, and it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek feud. They were good friends offset, but, man, if you ever listened to any of their radio shows, it sounded like they were going to beat the hell out of each other.
They really did. I mean, they really got a real pleasure out of their jibes at one another, and apparently when Fred Allen used to leave a blank spot in his script every week until he'd heard Jack Benny's program so that he could then tailor a couple of minutes to responding to Jack Benny's remarks and then come up with a few of his own.
That's great.
And then the current issue, we've also got an article about John Barrymore and an article by a friend of ours and a really terrific writer, Leonard Maltin, about silent movie stars on television.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then,
I love that one, Dave,
there's one other thing I want to mention, which is, unlike all those articles, there's a great article about winterproofing your house.
Well, you need that right now, don't you, buddy?
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I'm of an age, and you may be too, to remember when, you'd actually, before vinyl windows and central air, you'd actually have to put up storm windows glaze them. And I just like...
It's a pain in the ass.
And, oh, my God, and heaven help you if you cracked a pane or something, you were really in trouble. So,
funny.
We tried to use every issue as a springboard for sort of illustrating what it was like to be alive during that time.
Yeah, you got the radio career of the great John Barrymore, the king of Hollywood stunt writers. I mean, that's what I like about it. I mean, the subjects are vast and always interesting from front to back.
Well, thank you, and we've always tried to make every article different from the one before it, and every issue different from the one before it. And you know, obviously, if we were strictly a magazine about old radio or about old movies, the appeal might be limited. But I figure if you've got old radio and you've got old movies and you've got, you know, westerns and you've got Shakespeare and you've got memories of winterproofing a Midwestern home, you know, that's sort of a combination that to my way of thinking, it's not like much else that's out there. And so we're enormously proud of that.
And then, of course, all month long on your radio show, which I love on Saturday afternoons, you're really all over Jack Benny this month. I mean, this is the month that if you love Jack, man, you can't get enough of it on your show.
Well, that's true. This is a tradition my predecessor, Chuck Shaden, started back in 1979 in honor of Jack's birthday. And it really is staggeringly popular. You know, we've got some limited ability to gauge our audience size, and it just, it's thrilling to me to know that after 40 years, you know, we've tried, again, not to repeat ourselves too many times on these Jack Benny months, but the audience just absolutely loves it. And, of course, as you pointed out, the comedy is great. You know, Jack was really a pioneer as a comedian because he was the first comedian to sort of play a character in that, you know, Jack in real life was not cheap and he was not vain as his character might have been. But he got so much mileage out of this guy pretending he thought he was 39 and thought he could play the violin and, right. and you know, who was so cheap he would buy a gallon of gas at the station and then drive off, you know. So, yeah, he was really ahead of his time in that regard. And I think every comedian who's, especially every comedian who's ever had a TV show or a radio show, owes a debt to Jack Benny because they allowed the comedian to play a character that in turn let him be the foil to other people being funny.
Sure, absolutely. And I wouldn't be remiss if I didn't mention this as well. This radio show that you host, we're a year away from the 50th anniversary.
Yes, I
know. Isn't
that
crazy? Yeah.
It's remarkable. I think it's our radio show has lasted longer than the golden age of radio lasted, and that's thrilling. And I know we've been discussing that the anniversary's coming up and trying to plan ahead as best we could. But yes, it's still staggering and still humbling to think that, you know, in a lot of ways we're still just getting started, you know?
Yeah.
There's still hundreds and hundreds of shows out there that we haven't had a chance to share, and I'm really thrilled we'll have that opportunity in the months and years ahead.
Something at the United Center, maybe?
yeah, I understand that might be booked.
Is it booked? Is it booked that date? Okay, all right, all right. That's very cool. Well, I'll tell you
maybe the first eight rows. Yeah.
Okay. All right. When we get back, come back. We're going to talk about Jack Benny. Here's what I got, and I'm just going to tell you this, a little preview, a little audio from his first radio appearance ever, a little bit with Mel Blanc, a famous routine. Jack gets robbed. Of course, you know that one. Great joke about his violin. I got a little bit of Chuck Shaden's interview with him because that was one of his first interviews, I think, in 1970, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
1970. Yeah. And then Jack's last appearance on Johnny Carson. We'll do that all next on 720 WGN. Dave Plyer on this early Sunday morning on 720 WGN. We're talking to Steve Darnall of Nostalgia Digest magazine. That's the original theme to the Jack Benny program, which is featured on the front cover of Nostalgia Digest magazine. How do folks get a subscription, and where do they find it, Steve?
The best way at this point is to visit our website at nostalgiadigest.com, where you can get subscriptions, you can get back issues. You can also get the Nostalgia Digest podcasts, which I guess you would call sort of an audio version of a magazine article.
That's cool.
We've got a year's worth up for downloading, and then we've got older ones on compact disc. So for anybody who, it's not quite the same as reading the digest into a microphone, but hopefully, you know, you'll get a lot of great sounds and a little bit of history as well.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
I might point out,
yes, sir,
David, that our good friend Carl Amari has worked out a deal with us. And if I might mention that here,
yeah,
that if people order a 2-year subscription to the Digest and mention WGN when placing their order,
Carl will deliver the magazine himself, which is nice.
Set. Yeah, that's right. No, he'll drive to your house, and you'll ask him, how did you get my address? And no, but we'll throw in a 4-CD set of Carl's Twilight Zone radio dramas.
Yeah, it's very cool. Quite a deal.
Yeah, absolutely free. So just 2-year subscription, mention WGN, nostalgiadigest.com, or you can call our offices at 773-769 6575.
I'm also going to give them your cell right now. You can call them right now in a commercial break. You can call Steve. All right. So it's Jack Benny's.
I will take the call because I don't like to be rude and hang up on Dave Plyer.
I like that. It is Jack Benny's, what would have been his 125th birthday. Very, very cool that we're celebrating that on Valentine's Day. Here is a clip, Steve, of his first radio appearance ever in 1932 on the Canada Dry program.
Tonight, Canada Dry, the champagne of ginger ales, presents a series of programs to advertise the new made-to-order Canada Dry, which you can now buy by the glass at drug stores and soda fountains. This series will feature George Olsen and his music, Miss Ethel Cute, the star of many Broadway successes, and that suave comedian, dry humorist, and famous master of ceremonies, Jack Benny.
Thank you, Mr. Thorgerson. That's pretty good from a man who doesn't even know me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jack Benny talking and making my first appearance on the air professionally. By that I mean I'm finally getting paid, which of course will be a great relief to my creditors. I really don't know why I'm here. I'm supposed to be a sort of a master of ceremonies and tell you all the things that will happen, which would happen anyway. I must introduce the different artists who could easily introduce themselves and also talk about the Canada Dry made to order by the glass, which is a waste of time, as you know all about it. You drink it, like it, and don't want to hear about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, a master of ceremonies is really a fellow who is unemployed and gets paid for it.
There you have it. So that's his first moments. A little rough, but you know what? Definitely his sense of humor right off the top, right?
Oh, yes. Jack always had a gift for self-deprecation that even before his character was established. I mean, the very first time he was ever on the radio, apparently, was on Ed Sullivan's show.
Right.
And he actually told the joke, you know, this is Jack Benny. There will now be a pause while you say, who cares?
Today would be while you Wikipedia me. And find out who I am, right? Exactly.
That's right. You must do a Google search. You'll find me.
That's right.
No, he always was. And it's interesting. We ran a piece about Jack a while ago in a previous issue. And he talked about how when he did his first show, you know, he used up like half of the material he'd written for the stage. And then the next week he'd used the other half. And then he realized he needed to hire writers because radio was just consuming material. But he had excellent taste in writers, and the writers all said he was an excellent editor of their work.
Interesting.
So,
which most,
you know,
most writers don't like that when their work is edited, so he must have been pretty good at it.
Yes, well, I think that he knew the character as well as anybody, obviously. So, and one of the things we love to do on Those Were the Days, of course, is present those shows, and that's sort of proof right there that over the 30s and the 40s and into the 50s, you know, Jack and his writers were working like a well-oiled machine to everything went in service of that character. I mean, I think you have a clip coming up, I think, which just sort of illustrates how beautifully Jack and his writers cultivated this character of the cheapskate.
There's
a moment when he's threatened and there is total silence and the audience laughs at the silence.
Yeah, that's
because
exactly
they
right.
know this character so well.
Yeah, Jack is notoriously cheap, and they've done this both on radio and on television when Jack gets robbed. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Bud. Bud.
Huh?
Got a match?
Match? Yes, I have one right here.
Don't make a move. This is a stick-up.
What?
You hate me.
Mister, put down that gun.
Shut up. Now, come on. Your money or your life? Look, Bud. I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
Because people knew right off the top that he was thinking about it. You didn't even have to say it, right?
And I know. It's just I remember at one point, I guess he told Eddie Marr, the actor who plays the gunman, you know, just wait because the audience will laugh at the fact that I don't do anything.
Yeah.
Because, yes, they know that character so well. And I know he took a lot of grief in real life that, you know, people would, you know, ask him how cheap he was and how his toupee was and all those things. But, you know, So in a way, yes, Jack Benny's life was one large performance art piece. But man, he was so good at it, and it's hard to imagine anybody who had the timing and the skill at that sort of thing that he did.
Another routine that they did frequently on the radio show and the TV show was one with Mel Blanc. Let's take a listen.
Pardon me, mister, but did my man come over and put some of my clothes in your luggage?
See?
Are you going to New York?
See?
Are you taking flight 18? What's your name?
Sai.
Sai?
Si.
My man told me you were going to visit some relatives in New York.
Si.
Sister, is it?
Si.
I'm afraid to ask this next one. What's her name?
Sue.
So, I mean, this is a classic. I mean, classic routine.
Oh, yeah. And you can just hear Jack's trying hard not to laugh. And he's Jack Benny, apparently, unlike a lot of comedians, Jack Benny was a terrific audience. And so many comedians loved that about him.
Absolutely.
He wasn't jealous, and he wasn't protective and of his own ego. And if he thought somebody was funny, he would step aside.
He would let him get the laugh. Absolutely. Here is, and I remember this. I actually had to really find this one, but there was a joke, and I remember seeing this on television, not on the radio show. But there was a joke because Jack played the violin. Whether he played it well or not, he always acted like he didn't play it well. And there was a kid that walked up to him in this clip it's just classic. Let's take a listen.
You know, Mr. Benny, I play the violin too.
Oh, really?
I've been playing for 2 years.
Oh, well, how well do you play?
Pretty good.
That's wonderful. Do you play like me?
I used to.
Because it was just his blank stare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Jack's one of those people. I mean, I'm partial to the radio shows, but...
Sure.
He had the amazing ability to... sort of reinvent himself for television. I mean, because obviously, yes, on television...
Not everybody made it. He did, man.
Not everybody made it. And Jack did so many great things with sound. I mean, you know, on television, it would be very hard to do things about Jack Benny's underground vault. It would be hard to do something about the beat-up Maxwell he drove.
Sure.
And so he didn't really do those things to any degree. So instead, yes, he cultivated that talent for staring, for looking out at the audience forlornly, for doing takes, and really just was utterly masterful. And so, yes, there's a reason that he lasted in television for 2 decades as the star of his own show, just the way he did in radio.
Chuck Shaden interviewed Jack Benny in 1970. It was his first interview. I remember Chuck telling me how nervous he was, and I would be too. I mean, it was really...
Oh, my God.
Right?
Sure.
Hello. Yeah, exactly. And you sell this. There's a collection you sell that has this. I'm going to play a clip of it, but what is the collection called, Steve?
There's a collection that Chuck put together. It's a sort of documentary called Speaking of Radio, the Jack Benny Program. And it takes listeners through the history of the Benny Show on the air. And Chuck presented a lot of interviews. He recorded a lot of interviews with people involved in the Benny Show, like the announcer Don Wilson, and singer Dennis Day, and band leader Phil Harris, and a couple of the writers, Milt Josephsberg and George Balzer, and a lot of other people involved with the Benny program. And he spliced all these together along with a lot of clips from Benny broadcasts to create this absolutely marvelous 12-part documentary. And yes, it's available on CD at nostalgiadigest.com.
Let's take a little listen to a clip asking about how he started his career.
Do you remember what your first words were?
On radio?
On the Ed Sullivan Show?
Was it Ed Sullivan or my own show? First show, where I said something like, because it's been repeated so much, something like, this is Jack Benny, there'll be a slight pause while you say who
cares. For everyone to say who cares?
Who cares, or who cares, or something, I don't know. It was something like that, yeah.
Well, you were on the Ed Sullivan Show back in 32.
Right.
And then that was in March, and then later that year, in May, you started your own program.
In May, I started my own program. And I got it through the Ed Sullivan Show.
The sponsor?
The Canada Dry Ginger Ale. They heard me on the Ed Sullivan Show, and as soon as that show was over, they called me and made me an offer.
And you've had a sponsor on radio and TV ever since?
Ever since.
Right. What did you do on that Ed Sullivan Show?
What happened was, I was in New York, and Ed said, "Jack, why don't you come on my show?" He did a sports show or something. Mm-hmm. I said, "What do we do?" He said, "What'll we do?" He said, "Oh, let you and I sit down. We'll write something." So I forget what it was, a couple of questions. He was doing a sports thing. So we sat down, and there wasn't much to the show except little talk, but evidently the agency for Canada Dry Ginger Ale perhaps liked my speaking voice, because that's all they could go by.
Right.
And they made me the offer right away.
That's how I got this job, Steve.
They liked your speaking voice?
They liked my speaking voice, exactly, exactly. Before I let you go, because we'll talk about your appearances in a little bit, I want to play this piece. Sure. This is, Johnny Carson revered Jack Benny. I mean, revered him, right? And this is his last appearance. It was the year he passed away. He passed away in 1974. This is just slightly earlier this year, and Johnny was asking Jack about his longevity in marriage. He was married to Mary Livingston for, I think, almost 40 years. Let's take a listen.
Almost 50, yeah.
Almost 50. Let's take a listen.
We were talking about Jack and Mary being married 47 years, and how you get along.
And then you're
compatible.
You ask me how we get along. We get along great. We've always gotten along great. I can't imagine being married to anybody else. Now, I do say something on the stage, but I don't think I've ever said it on television, that in the 47 years that we've been married, the way I tell it on the stage is that if I were to say that we've never had a fight or an argument, you'd know I'd be lying. But I can truthfully say that Mary and I have never had an argument, let's say, or a fight big enough where the word divorce was used. Murder, yes.
That's fantastic. I love that. I love it. Still witty months before he passed away. It's so great. You always do the rounds at public libraries and other places talking about nostalgia in the golden age of entertainment. Where are you going to be this afternoon, Steve?
Actually, yes. In about 10 hours, I'm going to be at the Westchester Public Library, I think at 2 o'clock, to talk about radio and the Golden Age. And we'll have some sound clips from some of the big shows and stars, including Jack Benny, of course, but also, I think, Bob Hope and The Shadow. And, yeah, for us, getting to talk and do these public appearances is absolutely wonderful because, as you know, Dave, in your position, you know, you can sit at the microphone and you like to assume you're reaching an audience, but when you have that direct correlation between telling them we're going to be here on February 10th and people showing up on February 10th, it's magic, because then you can actually thank them directly for the support they give you by listening to you. And hopefully they do the same. They don't chase you out of the building.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for more information on this and the podcast and a subscription to the magazine, NostalgiaDigest.com. And again, if you mention WGN Radio, you get a box set from Carl Amari, and it's the Twilight Zone, right?
Order a 2-year subscription, mention WGN, and you'll get the Twilight Zone CD set absolutely free. And for those who are not computer literate, you can call us at 773-769-6575.
Awesome, Steve. Thanks as always, and have a fabulous day.
And to you too, David. Thanks very much.
All right. See you, Steve. We'll be right back.